This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Don't be taking any of Rosenberg's garbage, Michael and Donnie. The Michael K. Show starts right now.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this big football Friday. It's January 27, 2023. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you are until 6:30. Why 6:30? Well, there's a Ranger game, so we move aside for the pregame show. Hope everybody's doing well. We have our decisions. We have our opinions, and we will break down the AFC and NFC championship games in due time. How are you guys doing? How's San Antonio, Peter?
You know, this hotel room at this hotel is lovely. Besides that, I have not done anything in San Antonio. I'm going to go out tonight, enjoy some, Don, I'm going to enjoy some delightful Mexican food while I'm
here. There you go.
You have to, right? I mean, it's the only thing. And I might catch up with Beetle later tomorrow.
Oh, I love it. Give our best.
Did you reach out, or are you just hoping to?
No, I reached out.
And she was amenable.
I reached out. Her initial response was, who dis?
Right. New phone.
But I realize my number is newer than the last time I talked to Beetle. I told her. She then responded, hey, with an expletive after that.
Right, that's her way.
And that is her way, and we were off to the races.
All right, so off to the races today. The Knicks shocked me. I thought they were going to get slapped around in Boston, and instead they won in overtime. It's a good win. It's a good win. I'm not going to try to pour cold water on it, as some of our listeners said on Twitter, but it is what it is, and I think it was really summed up beautifully by Julius Randle after the game. He said, we can beat anybody and we can lose anybody. To me, that's the definition of an average team. They frustrate you. And they're going to win games like this every now and then. And the Celtics are in a little bit of a slide. They've lost three in a row. So the Knicks win 121-117. But if you expect me to sit here and say, that's it, they're going to start off on a run now, I won't do it because I don't believe it. They're a very frustrating team. But there's nothing to be taken away from that win. That was a big win. That's a nice win for them.
Well, you get stuck, right? Oh, well, every time there's an upset. Like, you know, the Pistons beat the Nets last. Oh, the Nets just didn't show up. Like, that just seems to be the knee-jerk reaction. It's unfair. It may be factual, but it's unfair. So, like, the Knicks can never have a big win. Like, every time they surprise somebody, like a good Boston team on the road, well, it has to really be on Boston more so than the Knicks being impressive. Well, if that's the case, then you can never really be impressive.
Right.
That's a good win. You got to, hey, listen, it's a win you need, right? You want to stay out of the play-in. And if it was a case of, you know, Smart being out or Boston not being completely engaged, although on that 16-4 run they look pretty engaged. So, hey, a win's a win. They need it. And Boston could worry about themselves, you know, themselves. But the Knicks need it. They got it.
They got it. The Nets lost, and that's an awful loss. I know they're all banged up, but they better hope that Ben Simmons' knee is okay, because he had to sit out most of the second half, and they lose to the Pistons at home. That's just bad. That's not good. There's no other way. You can't put lipstick on a pig. They are not the same team without Kevin Durant. Hurry back, Kevin.
That is a tough one. And for the record, a lot of people coming at me trying to, like, put me in my place. Guys, did I stand on any sort of, like, major position yesterday that I thought the Celtics would dominate?
No, I didn't.
You recall saying I wouldn't touch the game.
Hey, you said you wouldn't touch the game. Right. That's it. First of all, you guessed the spread, and you said you wouldn't touch the game.
Yeah. People are still trying to come. And listen,
don't like you.
That's right. Thank you, Don. It's a great win for the Knicks. And the Celtics are a softer team without Marcus Smart. Knicks took advantage of it. Good for them.
There you go. There's your basketball update. Now let's move to football.
Oh, yeah. Don, go ahead. You said it. You're doing it. Let's go.
We are going to see the poor Cincinnati Bengals are going to go to the Super Bowl for the third time in franchise history, for the fourth time in franchise history, and for the third time face the 49ers.
All right. Well, then I can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief, Peter, because I do have a chance now, because I do not have Cincinnati. I have the Chiefs. And one of the things that they say about the Chiefs, well, you know, they're not a great team at covering the spread. But once the spread's 1 point, that's irrelevant. Who's going to win the game? And I believe that Patrick Mahomes is okay. And if he's okay, I'm going to take them. It'd be foolish to bet against them in Kansas City. And you could give me all the stats you want. I know for a fact that they've lost three in a row to the Bengals. I get it. All the games were close. And they turned in the second half. So I hope Andy Reid could make the adjustments that Cincinnati is making. Because in the first half of all those three games, Mahomes has been very, very good. Second half, they shut him down. So Anarumo is a really, really good defensive coordinator. So I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I agree with the Don. I believe the 49ers are going to beat the Eagles.
Wow.
There really has nothing to do, Peter, with the Mahomes injury. It has everything to do with just Cincinnati having Kansas City's number. And you saw it last year, and it's just time to start really believing in Cincinnati. I know they were 4-4 to start the season. I know their offensive line isn't great. But he's a great quarterback. There's a very good defense. These are two of the best red zone offenses in football. However, Cincinnati's defense is the best against red zone offenses. I just think the matchup favors Cincinnati. I think it's going to be a close classic game, but I think it's Joe Burrow's time. I think that he's been the forgotten quarterback, right? It's always about Allen and Mahomes. And Joe Burrow snuck in last year, and it was like, oh, well, look at that. And then when they started 4-4, it was, oh, well, you saw it was just kind of a one-off. No, you see the way that they're playing right now. What they did in Buffalo tells you that now it's time to start recognizing that not only is Joe Burrow in that conversation, that maybe when the dust settles, he is the conversation.
I agree with every word Don just said, and I picked the Kansas City Chiefs to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. I love Cincinnati. I do think it's Joe Burrow's time. I think he's absolutely the man. I think it is a tall, tall task, Michael, to go win in Buffalo and then ask them to go to Arrowhead and win again. And I think there's some level of gamesmanship happening with Mahomes right now. I think he'll be good to go. I think Travis Kelce his way to another huge playoff.
So you don't agree with Don. Don's taking the Bengals.
No, I know. That's what I said. I agree with everything he said about the Bengals, but okay. I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs. I just, Don, you know what it is for me? And listen, I'm not going to lie. I wavered back and forth on this the entire week, okay? Love Cincinnati initially because the entire world loved Cincinnati initially. And then as the week went on, I sort of went through different thoughts about it. And at this point, even though we know Andy Reid has dropped the ball in big spots before, many a championship game with Donovan McNabb and the Eagles. I just don't see this version of Andy Reid and the Chiefs losing four straight to the Bengals and doing it at home at Arrowhead. And, guys, you want to talk about moving day? I believe the Kansas City Chiefs will be playing the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Well, there you go. So this is huge. This could be a big weekend.
I mean,
and we don't know the allotted points.
We don't know. Because what could have happened just now, Don, according to the allotted points, I could be eliminated from catching him.
Right.
Because I have the 49ers as well and the Chiefs.
And I think we should save the points for the 5:45, honor the sponsor and the time.
I agree. We have to.
But I'm not going to sit here and dodge talking about the subject of the day so we can save it for 5:45.
Hold on, but Don, me and you, point allocation doesn't matter at all. If you get them both right. And I get
the
ball
wrong. Right. It's either, you know, I'm done or, you know, it's a 5-point swing. It's a big deal.
And the only one I have different with you, Peter, I have the 49ers and you have the Eagles. So I'm five
points
back.
And how many is Don back?
Unless that's your third point pick, then we got problems. Oh, and Don is what? How many back? I have it right here.
I think 4.5.
I think it's fewer than that.
Fewer, no. It's
yeah,
fewer.
No. Don is at 62.5 points. You're 4 points back. Peter's at 66, and I'm at 61, so that's 5.5.
I'm either done or I'm in the lead. And we are already, and for everybody, we've submitted our picks and our point allotted, so we can't, like, shift the points based on what we said. So it's all been locked in since before the show.
I'm excited.
That's fun. I just think that this is great.
What
I
life
think,
is all about.
Honestly, I mean, you could make the case if Buffalo made it, it's the four best teams. But when you consider that it's the team that went to the Super Bowl last year that is supposedly the outlier because they're the lower seed. But what throws all that off, guys, is what if that game, the Hamlin game, was played on that Monday night and Cincinnati wins that game? Mm-hmm. You know, it changed everything. So you can make the case that these are the four best teams in football. There's no outlier. There's no Cinderella that like spoils the party. These are the four best teams and tremendous coaches. The one outlier at quarterback is Purdy, but who knows? Maybe we'll fast forward a few years from now and he'll be among the elite, but you really can't complain about these four teams. They've earned the right to be here. And outside of, again, Cincinnati that kind of got off to a bit of a slow start, look at the way they've played down the stretch and look what they did last year. Their quarterback and their coach. They might be a newbie, but they belong.
Now, we're in the middle of the NFL playoff preview brought to you by 2xLondon, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. What I'm hoping, though, I have not heard any word, that the 50,000 people that bought tickets to the AFC Championship game in Atlanta, I hope they're told that the game is in Kansas City. I don't want 50,000 people to show up.
That would be sad.
I mean, they could put it on the big board, I guess, but it's not worth the money, you know?
Well, based on the fact that they're still peddling tickets for the Pro Bowl, they should move the Pro Bowl there.
What a good point by you. Good point. Now, do you realize this is the fifth straight game in Arrowhead? Fifth straight AFC Championship game in Arrowhead. They're 2-2, and they have one Super Bowl to show for it. That's why everybody always jumps me for this. Andy Reid is one of those coaches. He's really good, but is he great? I mean, he can get you just so far. He went to so many NFC Championship games with the Eagles, won Super Bowl, lost, and then he finally goes to a Super Bowl and won with the Chiefs. Did he even go with the Eagles, or did he lose every one?
No, he went to the one that they lost to the Patriots.
The Patriots. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, he's one of those guys that just gets there.
That's right, the vomit kid. But
just gets there.
It's unfair, probably in a lot of ways, because as you look back, and as good a quarterback as Donovan McNabb was, it's not Mahomes.
No.
Right? He was a good quarterback, so you can make the case that he overachieved by going to all those championship games with Donovan McNabb and the Eagles. I mean, or you could look at it and say that was he not good enough? All I know is he's very, very consistent. And the one thing he's consistent at doing is producing points, and that's what this league is all about. So he might only have the one. But really, how many coaches have more? It's like the quarterbacks. Oh, Aaron Rodgers only has one. Drew Brees only has one.
Well Parcells outside has two. Coughlin has two. Belichick has six.
Although, but again, we're talking two or one, right? And Belichick obviously is off the charts with his six, and Brady's
lost
off the charts with his seven.
But Coughlin never lost a Super Bowl. Parcells lost one, and Belichick lost three.
Okay.
I mean, but Andy has lost two with Patrick Mahomes and lost two AFC championship games with Patrick Mahomes. So we'll see. I'm betting that they will break that streak.
So he's a little bit more like Bill Cowher than he is Bill Parcells.
Maybe.
Still very good. Outstanding. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. There's a lot of consistency there. And to be able to – listen, and I know that, like, you look at the Buffalo Bills and they're like, oh, they haven't won a Super Bowl, went to four straight Super Bowls. You know how hard it is to go to four straight Super Bowls? They didn't win one. So let's say Marv Levy beat the Giants and Norwood hits the field goal, but then never goes back. Oh, he's got a Super Bowl. Marv Levy's got a Super Bowl. And never goes back to another Super Bowl. He's held on to greatness because he won a Super Bowl.
You're probably right.
But doesn't get any credit for going to four straight Super Bowl. He lost them all, but still, to go to four straight is an accomplishment in itself. And all these championship games that we've seen Kansas City in, and before that Philadelphia, yeah, you can accentuate the negative that he's only got the one Super Bowl and only have gone to two
and
or three. But that consistency is almost unmatched.
And what about
Bill Belichick?
And what about the air, the rarefied air that Andy Reid's breathing if he wins another one this year?
Oh yeah, then he'd be amongst the elite. This is his 20th career postseason. He has 20 career postseason wins, so he's always getting the championship game, and he's gotten to the Super Bowl three times. But he loses a lot too. So do you want? Of course, anybody would sign up for a coach like that.
No, Tom Landry lost a lot, too. The Cowboys didn't win all those Super Bowls under Tom Landry. Went to a bunch of them, lost.
And Don Shula lost the Super Bowl.
And Don Shula lost a lot.
Yeah.
Including Super Bowl III. So, I think we get caught up and you only in the quarterbacks too. But there's outside of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, it's like one or two.
All right, now let's give you some weather. Philadelphia weather's not supposed to be a factor. It's supposed to be over 50 degrees, some wind. There might be a little precipitation, but not much expected. In Kansas City, it could be an issue. Temperatures expected to be in the lower to mid-20s with wind chills around 10 degrees.
Oof.
At 5:30. That's the scheduled kickoff. That's according to the Weather Service. But I don't know who that impacts that much. I mean, the cold weather might impact Mahomes' ankle if it's not right. I don't think Joe Burrow gets flustered at all. Look how he played in the snow in Buffalo. So I don't think the cold weather is going to knock him. I mean, it's not like he plays in Bermuda. He plays in Cincinnati.
No.
So I don't think that weather really has an impact. I really don't.
I think weather's not a factor, I guess, in either game.
So I'm curious, though. Why did neither of you like the Eagles? That's kind of the pick I've been confident in all week.
Well, I like the 49ers because I think they run the ball well, and the Eagles have a little trouble stopping that. And the Eagles run the ball very well, but the 49ers are great at stopping it. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to play a really, yeah. really close game, and I think the better coach is Shanahan. I can't say it was a toss-up. I like the 49ers from the start, but I don't think it's going to be a touchdown or a 10-point game. Could be a field goal game. Could be four points. That's just the way I look at it. And I also think that this is a better team than the Giants, much mm-hmm. better, and they're going to be able to get to the quarterback. They're going to be able to really impact what Jalen Hurts could do.
Yeah, it pains me as a Giant fan to say, but I think we get a little caught up by how that final score was and maybe hoping as a Giant fan, oh, well, this is the best team in football, so that's why they lost and they're going to crush everybody. It's a different animal having to play San Francisco in that defense. And listen, Dak Prescott didn't play well for Dallas, but that's a pretty good Dallas offense that was completely shut down and just couldn't do anything. And that defensive line is quick, it's big, and I think they can contain Hurts. Now, Hurts can still burn you because if there's a weakness with San Francisco, it's probably their corners. But I think they're going to put pressure, and it's going to be a different animal trying to score against this defense. And I don't think Purdy's asked to do a lot. I think Shanahan will create something offensively to do enough for this to – listen, I'm overwhelmingly confident on either game, but it's just a feel that just the coach and the respect I have for the San Francisco defense – That's where I'm going.
Peter, do you feel like, it's hard to breathe right now because the whole lead might slip away this weekend?
And it's not splitting any difference. It's either all or nothing.
Well, no, that's not true. Because you could get one and I could get one. Right? I mean, if I get the NFC game and you get the AFC game, depending on point allotment, it could come down to next week. Now, of course, I'd love to crush you. If you get both wrong, Don, but next week I don't do anything.
But splitting the difference is not going to be that much of a big deal point-wise, right?
No.
So you're still going to have the lead, and it'll be fairly comfortable no matter what if we split. And if you win, you put me away. You put everybody away.
So much excitement.
Depending on but how it goes with the point allotment on the difference that you have.
I'm rolling the dice, but I'll tell you what, I know how much I hate the Eagles. I obviously made that very clear on the show over the last week. But man, from a matchup standpoint, like the actual organizations, God, Cincinnati, San Francisco does not excite me. I don't know why.
And you know what?
I've seen it.
John Candy's not going to be sitting in the stands either.
That's right.
It's a bit repetitive. But it's been a while since they've met. I mean, that John Candy game was a long time ago.
I understand. Boomer Esiason. Right?
I think any matchup can be sexy, honestly. There's something about San Francisco. I know they're probably the least sexy of the teams because, again, the quarterback you don't know a lot about. But it's still,
well,
I don't
defense.
Know, the 49ers have built up enough equity from the Montana and Young years where they're just one of those teams.
Anthony, I need a breaking news sounder if you have a chance, if you could find that.
Is this real?
This is real. What's happening is that the man who knows the most football amongst the four of us has rung in with his pick. Aaron Boone says 23-14 Eagles.
Wow. So Aaron not only feels confident that they'll win, he's very confident in this football team.
Yep.
Like, listen, I believe the 49er story has been awesome, and the Purdy thing's been kind of magical. I just, to me, what it came down to ultimately is these are teams. You look at where they are in the league and sort of statistically, they're an incredible matchup. It's very even. I'm going to go with the guy who might be the MVP of the league in Jalen Hurts and not the kid who I really still don't know much about. He'll do enough.
Well, you know what we know a little bit about? The biggest game of his life, he didn't make a mistake. Didn't play great, but he didn't throw an interception. Dak did. Dak's the one who cracked. Purdy didn't.
Oh, Dak cracked, but Jalen ain't no Dak.
But Jalen still might not be 100%. He didn't run that much against Giants because he didn't need to. They got an early lead. And the first time he threw the ball, he threw it 42 yards in the air to kind of quiet any concern that his arm is bad. But, again, the 49, I think Don said it perfectly. I didn't even look at it in that sense. You know, we looked at what the Giants did to the Vikings, and everybody got giddy, not me. Everybody got giddy about how good they were, and they were going to really battle the Eagles. Different competition. Vikings are the Vikings. The Eagles are great. And they just slapped the Giants around like they were supposed to. Now we look at what they did to the Giants, and we go, well, anybody that's in front of them, they're going to slap around. Well, the 49ers are legitimately outstanding. They haven't lost in 3 months.
And they're brilliantly coached. They're disciplined. Greg Kittle's unbelievable. I mean, they got a lot going for them. George Kittle. George Kittle has a ton going for him. I mean, they're a great team.
McCaffrey.
San Francisco's a great team.
And defense travels to me, right? So I don't even, like, worry about where the game's being played. Like, maybe I'm wrong to look at it the way, but I always looked at when you look at offense could be affected, I think, by the crowd and all that. Will they be able to hear the audibles, all that? But defense, I think, travels. You play well defensively, you should be able to do that anywhere.
Let me say this, though, about because I actually do think the home crowd means something in the Philly game. Brock Purdy's really done a great job not making mistakes.
Right.
Guys, imagine a world in which early on he makes a big mistake, a pick six, a terrible decision, a fumble,
sure,
whatever it is. All of a sudden, that place in Philly of all places going nuts with that defense and him down, you could feel that crowd having an impact on a young player like that.
That's the NFL playoff preview. We'll be talking about it the whole show. We've got Tannenbaum coming on, Fortenbaugh. And it's brought to you by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. This is sobering news. You know what? This is kind of scary. ESPN.com reporting that Tua Tagovailoa, he's still in concussion protocol. A month. And so he's not going to participate in the Pro Bowl, which is really just flag football. And this is an injury, guys, that he didn't even seem like he got touched. There wasn't a big hit that was involved. So if you're the Dolphins, can you really put all your eggs in the Tua basket for this coming season?
It pains me to say it, Michael, because I think he's a great talent. But how could you? How could you feel confident moving forward that this isn't going to be a lingering problem and that you're not going to be looking for a quarterback the next time, God forbid, he gets hit?
See, that scares me about the Rodgers situation because that is a viable place for Rodgers to land. If he wants warm weather, like one of our callers told us, he said he knew him in high school, well, that's warm weather, and that's a team with a lot of weapons.
They're willing to give up partial ownership to Tom Brady to go there. So, and that was only a year ago. And it's not like the Tua situation has gotten better. If they were willing to do it last year with Tua, why wouldn't they be willing to do it this offseason?
Right.
To get another quarterback. So, yeah. God, imagine you're sitting there. You could maybe get Aaron Rodgers. And if you lose Rodgers, it might not be to retirement. It might not be going back to the Packers. You lose him to a team in the division. Oh.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Got the Rangers and the Golden Knights tonight. That's a 7 o'clock start, 6:30 pregame right here on 98.7. 7 o'clock start, Islanders Red Wings, 6:30 on 10:50, and the puck drops at 7. Mm-hmm. Islanders need wins. And
that game is on the mothership. It's right on ESPN. Bang.
There you go.
Network TV.
And then 8:30, Devils at the Stars. And we don't know about a pregame. We don't care. They're not on any of our stations.
8:30 pays off. But that pregame's up to them.
That's right. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. I think all three of us on the show have been in lockstep that if the Jets can get Aaron Rodgers, you go get Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the pushbacks that we've gotten, and I've heard on other shows on our station, is fans calling in and say, well, you know, you can't mortgage the future for a 39, 40-year-old quarterback. I was thinking about that today while I was driving around, and I said to myself, mortgage the future. Their future has been terrible for the last 10 years. You think about the future, every time they've had a future, they've mishandled it, and the present has been odious. So what are you worried about the future for? Why don't you worry about the present once in a while? The present is what you need. This is a move for the present. This is a guy that could make you extraordinarily relevant and competitive for maybe the next 2 years. The future always stinks for the Jets. What are you worried about the future?
Agree. It's almost exactly how I feel. That's what I said the other day, Michael. I don't understand. If they were the Giants, I'd feel different. If they were a team that regularly gets a chance, okay. This is a team that if they have a shot, because you guys have said this all week, people are going to need deals at some point. But you're going to blink, and it's going to be contract time for Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner and these guys. These windows are limited. They have studs on both sides of the ball. You go for it now however you can.
But we don't know what the ultimate package is going to be. But it sounds like two first-round picks. You say mortgaging the
future. I don't even think it'll be that much.
But let's just say it is. All right. So it's the 13th overall pick this year. So what can that be? Could it be a star player? Sure, it could be a star player. Could it be a bust? Yeah, who knows? It's a 50-50 proposition, it seems like, with the draft, especially if it's the 13th overall pick. And then if you have Aaron Rodgers and you're a playoff team and you make a run, even if you don't win the Super Bowl, you're talking about like very, very like low 20, like maybe the 28th pick in the draft. That's your future. We're not making a Herschel Walker deal here where you're mortgaging everything. And to Michael's point, it may not even be two first-round picks. Maybe it's just this year's first-round pick. So, yeah, mortgage the future, but the present, look how bright the present can be.
I'm amazed. I mean, the thing that pushes organizations forward are great quarterbacks. The Bengals couldn't get out of the way for the longest time. They couldn't get out of their own way. Oh, and they got Joe Burrow. How are things looking now? Future. You worry about the future? The present stinks. Yeah,
and again,
they have a talent laden team, and they didn't make the playoffs.
The three things that bother me, and these are predominantly the three things that bother Jet fans about getting Aaron Rodgers, and all three, it's hogwash. Number one, revisiting Brett Favre. You're going to have him for more than 1 year. All right, so stop talking about Brett Favre. Brett Favre got hurt. That can happen to any quarterback. You were 8-3 and on your way to the winning the division, possibly, if he doesn't get hurt, and you knew you only had him for 1 year. I think everybody feels that Aaron Rodgers is going to give you a really good level of football play for more than just 1 year. So stop with the Favre stuff. Mortgaging the future, you just outlined that whole thing. And the other one that drives me crazy, oh, it'll be typical Jets. We'll get Aaron Rodgers, he gets hurt. So anything they do is going to be a disaster because that's what's happened over the last 50 years. So then don't do anything, all right? Every pick's been a disaster. Every free agent's been a disaster. So if you think that everything is going to be awful, then why do anything? All three of the reasons are ridiculous. You have a chance to instantly improve the one thing that was disgusting for your franchise this year with maybe the best one of the best quarterbacks in football for the next couple of years. It's a no-brainer to me. God.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, they're worried about building a sustainable team. They haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. You're worried about building a sustainable team? Every opportunity that they have to do that, they screw it up. And it's mostly because of the quarterback or the coach.
Right. You had the second overall pick in the draft. It looks like he's going to go nowhere in Wilson. You took Darnold with the third overall pick in the draft. You already threw him away. Yeah, so if the 13th overall pick turns out to be somebody great, but you get Aaron Rodgers when you wasted a third and a second overall pick and got nothing out of it? Now all of a sudden we're worried about holding on to the 13th overall pick?
And also, can't we think a little positive here? Can't we? Maybe, just maybe, he could be Tom Brady 2.0 and play till he's 45. Hey. How about Aaron Rodgers for 5 years?
Oh, Michael, let's say this is the scenario. Their future is bleak. They become the Rams. But you get the Super Bowl the Rams got. Like, they got Stafford, right? This year was a disaster. Stafford got hurt. The team's a mess. They're in cap hell. But they don't care because they won the Super Bowl. Let's say you win the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, and then he's awful, and then the franchise is – don't you want that Super Bowl? You haven't had it. Michael, what's the percentage of people that listen to this show that were alive the last time they won it?
Well, I mean, I hate to say
30%?
I mean, what we're rooting for is that 100% have never seen it, because that's the demo that you want.
Right. You want to be under 54 years old.
Right.
Right. So none of them saw it. But no, but honestly, Michael, I mean, there's probably 30% of our audience that has a recollection, a flicker in their mind of what Super Bowl III was back in January of 1969. And I'm not guaranteeing you winning the Super Bowl, but I like your chances of actually being in it.
Now,
or having a shot at it.
I have one thing that we have not even discussed yet, but it's a factor.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is number 12. That's retired with the Jets. Now, Joe Namath has said that Joe's he would gladly allow him to wear it.
That's how much of a Jet Joe is.
But I'm Aaron Rodgers,
how important it is to get Rodgers?
The first test of Aaron Rodgers not being that guy would be, I would never take Joe Namath's number. Give me something else.
That would be nice. But if you get the blessing from Joe, like, Joe almost might be flattered.
Yeah, but Joe Namath is the Jet.
But the Jet,
I don't know if anybody should ever wear that number again. Yeah, I know he said it's cool. And I truly believe he means it. He probably wants to see a Super Bowl while he's still alive.
That would be the move to make.
For him
to
give it up, or for Aaron Rodgers
to
say, hey, listen, I appreciate it.
No, that's Joe. I can't.
But why does my gut say he'll say, thanks, Joe. He'll take it.
That I think you're right.
I think your gut's probably right.
I'm so honored, Joe. I'll take it. Thanks.
But I don't think it makes
it. But numbers mean a lot to players, so maybe it means a lot to Rodgers.
Right. But because not only – it's not like Namath hasn't had an opinion on Rodgers and then was asked the question and said, yeah, I'd let him wear it. He's been he wants Joe. He's been petitioning to get Aaron. So the fact that he wants Aaron Rodgers and willing to give up the number, I think it makes less. It wouldn't be a nozzle move for Rodgers to take the 12, but it would be money if he didn't.
Ah, it would be money. I mean, then you'd say, "Wow, we're really wrong about this guy."
It'd be a great way to get off on the right foot.
You got to admit, though, guys, as iconic a 12 as Joe Namath is here in New York, the number 12 is going to be – Rodgers will be a bigger reason that number's iconic.
No.
He's the more iconic 12.
Well, no, not New York ever. He could win two Super Bowls.
But
Joe Namath made the AFC.
I'm just saying, I know, but in football history, it's going to be, you know, Brady and Rodgers, they are the 12s.
Well, just because you're the better quarterback doesn't mean that you're the bigger legend. Now, if he comes here and wins a couple of Super Bowls.
Would Aaron Rodgers, like when Marco's doing this show in 40 years, right? Or Peter Rosenberg Jr., would he PRJ. Tell them, I didn't date Kate Moss. She was too lean. He would never say what Joe told us. Just doesn't have that je ne sais quoi.
But Rodgers is there with the women he dates. I mean, he's...
No. I mean, come on. Stop.
Well...
With what the women Joe Namath dated? We don't even know the women Joe Namath dated.
I understand, but I'm saying... But in the modern time, when you look at the women that he has been with, Aaron, like dated, if you plopped him into the late 60s, I think Aaron Rodgers would be right there.
I don't know. Nobody was cool as Joe.
But Joe wouldn't be Joe today. He admitted that.
Couldn't be.
Well,
he
no.
Couldn't be.
I don't think anybody could be like that.
Right.
Today.
So I'm just saying is that, both have game.
That's what you're saying. You respect the game. Game recognized game. That's what you're saying.
And listen, I know, you know, we like to analyze on this show.
Oh, love
sure
him.
We do.
One of the Aaron Rodgers, I think, is the better looking guy. But Joe's the cooler.
He's not nearly
Joe's way cooler.
Right dated Aunt Margaret.
Joe is way cooler.
Way cooler.
Because that's what attracts women is how cool you are.
Believe me, I know. Because I'm Shrek looking and I've done very well.
Honestly, Michael.
No, let's be honest.
I'm being very. I mean, listen, you're not ugly by any stretch.
Well, I'm not great looking.
Sure. But you were. I would have knowing. I don't want to take too deep a dive, because Michael. It wasn't like Michael was a show off, but just knowing him for 20 plus years, Michael. Peter, you get to see the women Michael has dated.
Sure, you do.
And this is. This is late 60s, early 70s Oriole rotation. I mean, this is quite the rotation. And you look at Michael and go, it's almost sitcomy. Like that doesn't make a lot of sense.
But that's what makes Michael. That's what makes Michael such a yo-yo,
right.
Don. Because
okay.
Every time we have a conversation about Pete Davidson or someone like that, he goes, I don't get it.
Wait a minute. I'm not attractive. I'm not Pete Davidson. Sorry, I just don't.
Yeah,
I still
but you're
don't
also.
Get it.
No.
Okay, hold on. Pete may be less attractive than you,
right?
But in his 20s, he's more famous and richer than you could ever fathom.
Well, there's a different factor. I don't think
so. It balances out.
But I don't think Pete Davidson is doing it with like Joe Namath cool.
He's funny.
But he's funny. Funny may not be as big as cool, but it's there.
Well,
and then you throw the rich and famous
and
into
I was
it.
Not
that
famous
balances
nor rich.
It out.
I was not famous nor rich.
Well, you were for some of it. You were famous.
No,
in Baltimore.
No, I've never been rich, and I've never been famous.
Never been rich.
No,
interesting.
I do okay.
Well, now you're rich now.
No, I'm not rich.
Yes, you are.
No.
Well, you're not. You're
you
not
know, listen,
Elon
you,
Musk rich, but you're rich. Well, there's different degrees of rich.
Well, am I more wealthy than I was when I was growing up in the Southeast Bronx? Yes,
of course.
But I'm not. I'm not close to rich.
Well, you're not. You're not.
See,
the
if
one
you, if you were to look, if you were to look statistically at the country, are you more wealthy than 99% of it? Yes, of course you are. But that's not rich.
No, you're doing pretty well as well.
Okay? No, and you know what? You deserve this coming from me after the way you came after my sweater a couple days ago. Okay, right
here's
up in
way
your face.
Well, there's comfortable. You're definitely comfortable.
Barry, I feel very comfortable right now. I have a very comfortable sweater on. If you're not watching on, yes, very comfortable.
But to a lot of people, rich is when money is not a concern.
Money's like, always a concern with me.
Well,
you
because
know me.
Just because you're cheap.
Then you can't be rich. Yeah, you're right.
I'm not cheap. I'm
meaning
frugal.
Like, no, but like there are people that you money's less a factor than it is for a
wait,
lot of
wait
other
a second,
people.
Wait a second. The two of us, me and you, Don, we gave monetary gifts to Anthony.
Yes.
For Christmas.
Yes.
Peter gave nothing. He's cheap.
Okay, that's true.
Okay? I'm not.
Well,
there's different levels of cheap,
too,
I guess.
Don't think Peter's cheap.
I didn't know that was a thing.
He wasn't very thoughtful.
You didn't know it was a thing. It's been a thing since you started here. We've given Andrew Gunling money every year.
Yeah, he just
you never told me.
But well, he just
I mean, you're supposed to act on your own.
No, but cheap would be I'm not giving him that.
Well, that's essentially
cheap.
What he knows that we gave money. He has not stepped up. He's cheap.
He didn't think.
Anthony, moving forward, you'll be getting a Christmas bonus from me. Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, if you are a person in my age group, Don's age group, Peter's probably too young, and you really enjoy March Madness and college basketball, you probably owe a debt of gratitude to the trio of Dick Enberg, Al McGuire, and Billy Packer. Because when they were announcing those games on NBC before the tournament moved to CBS, it was the thing. I mean, and obviously the Magic and the Bird final pushed it over the top and made it what it is today. But those were the voices of a sport during our youth when you decide whether or not you're going to be into a sport. And Billy Packer passed away last night, eerily, on the same day, although I believe 22 years later, than Al McGuire passed away. Same identical day. And he was a trailblazer. And it was a big deal when NBC lost the NCAA tournament, and then Billy moved over to CBS and stayed on for a while. He was a voice for generations, and he will be missed. He was a special, special talent because he played in the Final Four as a guard for Wake Forest, so he was a great athlete, really good businessman, was able to package sports together and sell them on TV, and then became the voice of college basketball, where he was honest to a fault. Sometimes, you know, he took a lot of heat for it, but he stood up for what he said and what he believed in. And we send our condolences to his family and all those who love college basketball because of him as he passed away last night at age 82.
Yeah, that's a voice that takes you right back. You know exactly, you know, the time, March Madness. That's just that kind of magical voice. Especially, you know, working with Dick Enberg, it's pretty incredible stuff.
And super multi-generational.
Yeah.
Because he really spanned, Michael, like, so he occupied one space for your generation, but for my generation, he was also the absolute voice of everything meaningful into, like, you know, the Duke North Carolina era, the last 20 years, Fab Five and beyond. I mean, yeah, he was a real, real integral part. Him and Dickie V, there are a couple names that you really associate with the sport. He's one of them.
Yeah, and because he passed away so early, Al McGuire, who did not make the move from NBC to CBS, but the trio of Enberg, McGuire, and Packer, it's an all-timer and one that will be remembered forever. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Chris in Connecticut. Chris.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Great. How are you?
Doing well. I was hoping to talk to you earlier in the week. You were talking about the title, the name of the show, and I was hoping as a listener I could have some input, if you don't mind.
Please, of course.
So I think it should be the Michael K. Show in perpetuity, not only during your tenure on this show, Michael, beyond that, and also beyond your time on this planet. It should be Michael K. Show forever. Okay. But that's actually not the point I want to make. Why? What I would like to say is it should not be ESPN Radio. No. Oh. It should be Michael K. Radio, 98.7 New York. And anybody going to and from break should have to kiss the ring 24/7, 365, kiss the ring of the person who made this network, this station, especially DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Now,
whenever they go to and from break, it should be, we'll be right back, Michael K. Radio, 98.7 New York.
Now, real quick, if we go with Michael K. Radio as the whole station, do we still have to also call this show the Michael K. Show?
Most definitely.
Got it. So the Michael K. Show only on Michael K. Radio.
Chris, I'm humbled.
Yes, the redundancy, I think, is fitting because it's deserved.
I'm humbled and also a little embarrassed, but I agree with most everything that you're saying.
So like a Dick Clark Rock and Eve thing.
Yeah, Dick Clark's forever. Always going to be on the title of Rock and Eve. You know, one thing I disagree with Chris about, Don, like if and when I retire, I don't know if the show should be remain the Michael K. Show, but Michael K. Radio sounds good. I mean, they named the Sirius channel after Mad Dog, right?
Maybe they could change the medium overall from radio just to Kadio.
That's
is that
terrific.
Good?
It's terrific. Yeah.
K-A-Y-D-I-O. That's what it's called from now on.
Yeah. And that would create chaos. Wow. K-A-Y-O-U-S.
And wow. That guy wouldn't need the first two letters of what you said because he really loved Michael.
Kadio. I don't get it.
Well, I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, good. Anyway, we'll continue to break down AFC and NFC championship games. That Chris from Connecticut, what a smart guy.
Really is.
Really, really smart things. He thought
about
it.
Was something.
It was well
planned. I will agree with you there. Something was going on.
So you disagree with everything he said?
Everything.
So you have no respect for me?
So that's the leap.
You know, Don, you know the rule with Michael.
No, I can't say the rule. I have a rule.
Yeah.
I have a perfect analogy for what Michael expects, how he expects to be
so
treated.
So why don't you just say it? Why don't you show something and
please
say
don't.
It?
Please don't.
I could say it once.
Well, nobody will hear it on radio, but tune into Yes, you'll hear it.
So the way I clean it up is that, you know, if you're not bowing at the altar of Michael K., you're disrespecting him.
We have breaking news, true breaking news from Jeff Passan.
Let's see.
True.
Okay. This is whether it's worthy.
National League batting champion Jeff McNeil and the Mets are in agreement on a 4-year, $50 million contract extension.
Okay, there you go.
Pending physical. Sources familiar with the deal tell ESPN. Whoa. It includes a 5-year club option that could take the value to $63.75 million. I got to tell you, that's a good deal for the Mets.
No, it is.
Jeff McNeil could play, and you're getting him essentially for $12.5 million a year.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I like it.
Now, I wish after what happened with Correa that we would just make these things official after the physical. Pending the physical,
sure they have
it's
a physical
different
on,
now.
I'm sure they have a physical on me.
Yeah, in this case, it should be okay.
No, I know. And it's always usually okay. But, listen, that's good. They had to get back some of the guys from last year.
What
and
do they
do
with Alonso now? How much do you give him, and does Alonso sign?
Yes.
Yes, he signs, or yes, they get it done? Because I think he's going to want over $30 million a year.
You got to hold on to your own, and he's still a very special player. And I think, listen, is he worth a lot of money? For sure. But I think for him, this is the place to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.